This is Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. There is much talk and much movement in Washington about reforming our broken immigration system. It seems to have bipartisan support. But what do we know about the life stories of these migrants? Well, that's a question that has led my next guest to apply his scientific training in anthropology and archaeology to discovering the thousands of stories of these migrants. Jason DeLeon is a professor of anthropology at the University of Michigan, and he directs the Undocumented Migration Project, UMP. His collection is now the largest body of migrant artifacts in the nation, with more than 10,000 items, everything from shoes to water bottles to love letters and photographs. Jason joins us now in the studio. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, your interest, Jason, in preserving the artifacts and in that uncovering the stories of these migrants coming from northern Mexico to the southern Arizona desert, it's a personal one. This goes back a long ways with you, doesn't it?
It does. I think that this project for me developed out of a variety of factors. I grew up in southern Texas along the border, about 8 miles from Mexico. I had many family members who were undocumented, including my grandparents. And my mom was an immigrant from the Philippines. So immigration was something that's always been kind of in my background. But I started working in Mexico as a graduate student, doing archaeology in a very traditional sense, working on Aztec stuff, working on even earlier civilizations such as the Olmec. And I got to know a lot of workmen and workwomen on these projects, local people who lived in rural, in sort of low-income communities who worked on these excavations. And many of them were migrants or mm-hmm. were preparing to migrate as well. And I saw a lot of my, I think, family members in these people that I got to know really well, and hearing their stories about what had happened to them in the desert or listening to them prepare themselves to undertake something that was so dangerous really struck a chord with me and kind of put me on the path towards where I am today.
And here you are as director of the Undocumented Migration Project. What do you and your team attempt to do? What do you see as your mission?
You know, I think our mission at the end of the day is to do good science, is to demystify this highly politicized, controversial topic and provide the general public with a more nuanced understanding of what's actually going on in southern Arizona and in northern Mexico. Because I think for me, the biggest issue is that undocumented migration and immigrants, people react very strongly to them in positive or in oftentimes quite negative ways. And it seems like everybody has a very strong opinion about immigration, but few people have a very good understanding of what it actually looks like on the ground and what's happening on U.S. soil. So for us, it's trying to take these sort of scientific approaches from anthropology and put it onto a highly politicized topic to provide the public with a better understanding.
And how do you do that? How do you operate? What do you do as part of the Undocumented Migration Project?
We try to look at immigration from a variety of different angles, and one of them being archaeology. Migrants leave a lot of stuff behind in the desert: food supplies, backpacks, first aid equipment, personal possessions. They lose these things en route, or they dispose of them as they've consumed them. And lucky for us, this stuff lays on the surface, and we've been able to come in and apply very rigorous sort of systematic archaeological techniques to try to understand what do the things that people leave behind tell us about this really complicated process. And we take the archaeology and these artifacts and we combine them with lots of interviews with migrants. I spent a lot of time in migrant shelters in Mexico talking to people as they prepare to cross or talking to them about what's happened after a crossing. And we do other things like I'm increasingly interested in the forensic side of this process and what happens to the bodies of those who don't make it, which in southern Arizona is pushing 300 people a year, known deaths a year since the late 90s. So trying to use forensics as well to understand what this process looks like for those who unfortunately don't make it.
So in essence, you're not doing anything different from the archaeologist who did the digs at Jamestown to discover how the first settlers to America lived, or archaeologists in South America or in Ireland, where you are really trying to crack that sense of how do they live, who are they?
Basically, And I think for me, the interesting thing is the archaeology that we do is really no different methodologically and oftentimes theoretically from what's going on in more ancient prehistoric sites or even in historical situations. Mm-hmm. But the reaction has been much different.
Let's talk about that, because you say you were really unprepared for the kind of negative pushback and reaction you've gotten to the project. Give me an example. What kinds of reactions?
I would say I'm probably one of the few archaeologists who gets hate mail. And if you look at like comments about this project and me personally on the internet, it gives you a good sense about how people feel about immigrants, how people feel about doing this sort of science.
And can you give us some kind of a sense of what you hear and what's said about you and your project?
I've been told that this is not science. I've been told that this is not archaeology, despite the fact that we've been funded by the National Science Foundation, despite the fact that I've published articles that have been peer-reviewed by my colleagues. I've been called things like an anchor baby, which I always want to clarify that actually, if you're going to use that term, I would be an anchor grandbaby, because both my parents were born in the U.S. and actually both my parents were military vets for 20 plus years. But a lot of like, you know, personal things. And I think that it jumps very quickly from the critique of science to this critique racism pops up in different ways, whether it's concern for the natural desert environment, that all of a sudden people are concerned about what immigrants are doing to the desert, or whether or not, I have this kind of liberal political agenda to add to this taking over of the United States by Latinos, which oftentimes pops up as well.
And really, your goal is?
My goal is to do good science. My goal is to provide hard data on this process that nobody really wants to look at directly. We all want to have strong opinions about it, but I think when we start to look at the actual data, then all of a sudden we see just how deeply implicated the American public is, myself included. Everybody who consumes food, you know, picked or processed by undocumented people, who receives services that these immigrants provide for Americans. Once we start to look at how it's all interconnected, I think it makes people really uncomfortable.
And looking at the artifacts you have, I was watching the video on the website undocumentedmigrationproject.com, and you're holding a child's boot. And you talked about the emotional impact that delivered to you and clearly to other people. Talk about that a little more, Jason.
It's a really hard – it's the toughest sort of science I've ever had to do because, I'm trying to collect data and theorize about human suffering and violence. And that is something that I don't think you're ever really prepared to do. I hope that it doesn't – I try very, very hard to make sure it's not clouding my judgment in terms of how I collect the data or how I'm thinking about this data. But I'm hoping that it just makes me more sensitive to the human condition. But emotionally, I mean, when we work in the summer, I mean, it can be very, very rough on a daily basis trying to collect data on the things that infants have left behind. Or, we have the unfortunate times where we can come across human remains, and then trying to both be a scientist in that context and say, it's my job to document this, but at the same time recognizing that there's a lot of human suffering there that is just right on the surface. And then how do I deal with that on an emotional level and then maintain, my professionalism?
And here you are with what's considered the largest body of migrant artifacts now in the country. What do you want to have happen to everything that you've collected, categorized, photographed, you've got it stored? What do you want it to have happen?
I think in a couple of things. I'd like it to be preserved forever. I think that these are important historical artifacts, and right now it's so close to the bone, I think that it's hard for a lot of people to see these things as important historical sort of artifacts. So I'm hoping that eventually museums will take on these collections, preserve them just like they would any other type of archaeological collection. But I'm also hoping that we can share this story both with the American public and with the rest of the world. We've just done an exhibit recently at Michigan that got a lot of great press. There's been interest internationally about having it travel. But ideally, I'd like a lot of this or some of this stuff to at least go back to Mexico, because I think there's a lot of migrants who have these stories and that they're not able to tell. And I think that these objects can oftentimes tell these really great stories that people aren't given the opportunities to tell. But also, I think it's important for migrants to see that there are people here in the United States who do, in fact, care deeply about these stories, because I think it really, at the end of the day, this is an American story. I mean, it's we can swap out the anti-immigrant rhetoric. We can talk about Latinos and replace Irish and jump back 100 years, and I think it's the same narrative. And trying to keep this this historical connections alive is important.
Now, you have just gotten a $10,000 award from National Geographic after you were chosen as one of this year's 17 emerging explorers. And I wondered, apart from the fact that that money can go toward continuing your work, I was wondering what it meant to you professionally and even emotionally to be acknowledged this way.
You know, I think it's a real honor. I was really surprised. I know that, Nat Geo, I'm probably the most controversial explorer that they've picked this year, and I'm probably the only one who really gets, I would say, hate mail. So I appreciate the fact that they are taking a chance by recognizing me and knowing that there probably will be a little bit of backlash. But I think it's a testament to the fact that we're doing science and we're not this is not something else. This is just as rigorous and systematic as any other social science endeavor. And so I appreciate the fact that they recognize that, and I'm looking forward to getting, I think, a wider exposure for this project, to get people who don't necessarily read stuff about immigration to hopefully get at least exposed to this.
And if they do, if they click on, let's say, after hearing this and go to undocumentedmigrationproject.com and explore your work a little bit, what are you hoping they'll take away from it?
I'm hoping that they'll at least have more information about the complicated process of immigration. I mean, we've got the economics of it. There's hundreds of companies that profit from selling stuff to migrants as they cross the desert. That some of them are local, Mexican-based. Some of them are global corporations like Gatorade, Red Bull. So hoping to shine a light on the kind of global economic system that undergirds undocumented migration, but then also to see that there's a whole bunch of different ways of looking at this. I think the dominant narrative we tend to think about is this individual story of, someone who loses their life or someone who suffers greatly during this process. We want to highlight that each of these stories are important, but millions of people have gone through this process over the last 15 years, and we're trying to show that there's a wide range of experiences that people have, whether you're a Mexican national or a Central American who tend to fare much worse than Mexicans while crossing the desert or even crossing Mexico to get to the border. Thinking about the stories about Border Patrol, we do the archaeology of Border Patrol, the stuff that they leave behind in the desert, which is telling some interesting stories. So just kind of showing that this process on the surface seems like superficial and everybody sort of knows a lot about it. But when you look at what it looks like on the ground, all these things pop out. And every day I see something new and want to go off in a new direction to try to answer, other types of questions about this process.
Before I let you go, give me an example of some of the interesting head-turning things that you found from the Border Patrol.
Oh, with Border Patrol. Well, one of the things that's been they leave a lot of stuff behind. And if you read the discussions on websites about the environmental impact of immigration, people oftentimes say very negative things about migrants, how they're trashing the Arizona desert. And we're coming to see, as others have shown more recently, that Border Patrol is probably having way more of a negative impact on the environment than migrants themselves, driving, creating illegal roads, destroying the environment with vehicle traffic, leaving tons of stuff behind. For example, they oftentimes use these giant tires that they drag behind on these to clear roads to check for footprints. And these things are pulled by big giant metal cables. These cables break, and then these tires are just left behind. So if you drive through a national forest in southern Arizona, you will just see a lot of Border Patrol debitage left behind.
Interesting, interesting work done by Jason DeLeon, who's a professor of anthropology at the University of Michigan and director of the Undocumented Migration Project. And again, you can learn more about his work by going to their website, undocumentedmigrationproject.com. Jason, thanks for joining us on the program.
Thanks, Cindy.